Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Get your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. I want to encourage you this morning. I keep track of where we're on a journey, and I keep track of what I preach on Sunday mornings. And unless God interrupts my plans, there's always a flow, and He leads Sunday morning by Sunday morning. I don't get to preach a whole lot anymore. They're kind of trying to put me out to pasture, I think. No, that's not reality. I teach Sunday school, the auditorium class. I kind of preach through it. I so much enjoy that. I do. To me, that's great. And then Sunday morning, I get to preach, and then by my choice, and I'm trying to elongate my ministry a little bit. Pastor Bill, Pastor Josh, they're preaching a series on Sunday night, and that kind of takes the pressure off. And then, of course, I preach a little bit on Wednesday night. So I just kind of miss out on Sunday night just a little bit. But I want to encourage you. This morning, it'd be like a Sunday night kind of message a lot of times. It's not going to be real deep, but it's a big thought. And it's simply this. We'll start with this. God, and this is an amazing thought, God wants to use you. Amen. You say, oh, not me. No. God wants to use you. Sometimes I go places and people fall all over me like I'm some kind of reverend, which I am not. There's only one that's awesome. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a pastor, all right? Not a reverend. I'm not the high holy one. That's just not how it is. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm called to pastor a church. I'm called to be a preacher. And I want to encourage you this morning, because if I planned my own life, I couldn't plan it any better than what God has done for me. I look back in my rearview mirror, and God has been so good to me. I'm the least likely person to have pastored a New Testament, saved by grace, Fundamental Baptist Church. If you were to go back, I know some of you sit in the auditorium. I tried to put my mind in the place of some of these young men that have surrendered to preach recently. And they sit in the church, and they have no idea about my background, no idea where God has brought me from. And they think that somehow they got to get from where they are to where this is in a single leap. And it doesn't happen that way. What I want you to know is we have all been called of God. We have all been chosen by God. I'm going to show you that in the book of 1 Corinthians in just a moment. And if you'll just, first of all, surrender to whatever God has planned for your life, He's going to take you somewhere. I promise you, He is going to use you. I promise you, no matter what you think your inadequacies are, no matter how much you think you have ruined your life, We worship a Savior who came here for sinners. And God, at some level, He has a plan for your life. He knows exactly what it is that you need, and exactly what it is that will fulfill you, and exactly what it is that will make you happy. And all you've got to do is surrender. Amen. Just like these four young men that surrendered to preach. Just surrender and let God take you where He will. Know this. God did not get a prize. I'm going to testify a little bit this morning. I'm going to share some of my testimony in some more detail at the end of the text. But God did not get a prize when He got Tim Rader. God got a vessel of clay that was marred and then surrendered. And God took it and remade it and is using it for His glory. Nothing special. I went to a Bible college. My first year there, we were the first class. There were 17. By the time I got done, there were hundreds by the time I finished my 4 years. But that first year, there were 17. And I was just thinking about this on the platform this morning. Of that 17, most of the men are still straight and true and in the ministry. Man, that's an amazing, it really is, I'm sure, an amazing statistic, because so many wander and so many fall by the wayside. But man, I didn't go to some big falutin Bible college. I went somewhere where Dr. Wooster mentored some preacher boys, and I learned the Word of God. He was an academician, and I learned the Word of God, and I learned by His example, and God used me, and God blessed me, and God continues to bless me. And I say this before I start, I don't deserve it. I know who I am. I know where I've come from. And I don't deserve the blessings of God. But let me testify, He's a good God. Amen. He's a God of blessing. Man, He'll use you. Man, no religious pedigree here, man. None. We were just beer drinking Presbyterians. That's who we were. Man, and when God saved me, I knew nothing. I didn't know the difference between an apostle and an epistle. I knew nothing. I couldn't quote the books of the Bible. I couldn't quote a Bible verse. Not a one. And I knew nothing. But I knew that after I got saved, God had called me to preach. And I just gave Him what I had. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, and to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, called to be holy ones, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Me too. You too, if you're born again, a saint of God. In our standing, we are a holy one, even though we're still sinners. Skip on down to, let me pray and then we'll jump ahead. Father, please bless this morning. Don't let this be a disjointed message. I pray this morning that You would work in all of our hearts. And God, that Your will and Your work would be done in this place. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. To the four young men, anybody else, older men as well, called of God to preach, to everyone in the auditorium, men and women, called of God, and we all are called to full-time servants, I want to be here for you. I want to do everything I can to prepare the next generation. We are all called. Five times in this single chapter, the word called is used. Ketos is the word. It means invited. Three times the word chosen is used. Ekigo. That means favored. Bob Jones Sr. used to say it this way. Young men, God is hard up for laborers. What he was saying is, if you'll surrender, if you just give what you have to God, He will use you. I started the message out by saying this. God has a plan for your life. Amen. You've got to be prepared. And you'll be prepared day by day. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and bring you along the journey, the pilgrimage of life. And your plate will keep getting bigger. Your shoulders will keep getting broader. And you'll be able to do more and more for God as you keep your eyes on Him and grow in grace. He says in verses 4 through verse 12, he says, you've got to get together. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He says, you're gifted. You come behind no one in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You are gifted of God. There's some division among you. Some of you have gotten proud and you've gotten haughty because you think you know more than some other people in the family of God. And he says, and all the way down to verse 12, get together. There's the great struggle for the Church of Jesus Christ in the year 2022. And that's, I'm talking about the fundamental Bible-centric church. And that is to stay together. To keep going in the same direction. To not change life goals. To not leave the old black book. To hold to the old time religion. That grace of God that comes from God alone. It says here in verse 13. I'll go down to verse 15. I'll read 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God. Listen to what the world's greatest soul winner says here. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Baptism doesn't save. This just goes along with the rest of Scripture. Here's the greatest soul winner in all of the New Testament, and he says, I'm thankful I didn't baptize you. I led some of you to the Lord, but I'm thankful I didn't baptize you. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus, and besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There are some people outside the family of God, and they think that preaching is a bunch of malarkey. A bunch of foolishness. And really, you think about it, a man, a God-called man standing up and preaching the Bible, by the way, never diminish that. Right. If he's a God-called man and he stands up and preaches the word, logos, he preaches rhema, the Word of God. They never, never diminish that. And as a people, as a church, a local church, God ordains and calls men to under shepherd those church, to be there as an under shepherd, to lead the church and just stay together. Those that are outside that are not yet born again, maybe they'll never get born again. That's just a bunch of foolishness. And think about it, how God uses the weakness of men. Puts a sinner in the pulpit or at the front of a class and uses them to teach eternal truths. A God-called servant or vessel spitting forth the Word of God so the Holy Spirit can teach and preach. You say, I can get that at home. I beg to differ. You have the Holy Spirit and you've got the Word of God. God, I don't know why. I'm not saying the preacher's a big shot. I'm not saying that. I don't know why, but God calls preachers. Always be careful. Red flag, people that always miss preaching. They're there to serve, supposedly, but they always miss preaching. There's going to be a void in their life. Let's read on here. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God wants to use you. Understand that. And God is too wise and too big for us to humanly comprehend, and he chooses to use preaching. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. There it is again. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, you know, the academics, the supernatural science. But we preach Christ crucified. That's the gospel. Under the Jews, a stumbling block. Interesting word stumbling block. It actually goes deep, and it's dark, and it means it speaks of being scandalous that the Savior is Jesus Christ. The Jewish mind just had a hard time comprehending that. And under the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them which are called, there it is right there. Cletus invited both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, the simplicity of the gospel. No matter, you can be too big for God to use, but you will never be too small. You can be that little fifth grade boy that knows nothing about God, get saved and called to preach and just surrender. And then God will do great things. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Verse 25, almost where I need to be. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. That's a truism in the family of God today. God uses nobodies. Truthfully, I'll say it this way. God uses idiots. Man, he takes all kinds of personalities if they'll surrender. And it might be that God has called you to preach. Whether he's called you to preach or not, there's a calling of God in your life. We are called of God to be part of the family of God. Verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. There's a call that goes out to the whole world. There's a call to full-time Christian service. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then some he calls to be upfront full-time preachers. I'm thinking of, well, verse 25, just read some of that. Also, Ephesians 4 and verses 11 and 12, he called some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Talk about Bible pastors and Bible teachers. I didn't choose to be a preacher. If I was smart, I would have. But I didn't choose. I was called. I didn't know for sure what that meant. I did know that I was supposed to surrender. That's what I did. And then God took it from there. God isn't looking for big shots. 17 kids in the Bible college I went to. It grew quick and it grew fast. But that whole first year, 17. A lot of one-on-one mentoring going on there. I learned well. I tried to. I'm learning every day. Let me read on here. Not many mighty, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world, to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things or the nobodies of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what Jesus has done for us, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So God wants us to stay together. God wants to use you. He has a plan for your life. You can be too big to be used of God, but you'll never be too small to be used of God. You have four young men that just recently surrendered to preach, and everybody that comes after you, and everybody that's jumped in, they're in the game already before you. Anything, I'm going to do my very best to mentor you, to provide for you, to anything I can do to help you along the way. I'm looking for you. I know some of you are right here at the front. I'm there for you. And this church is going to, we got to do our best to prepare the next generation. I said all of that, and I've got 10 minutes, and I'll get a little bit personal here as far as my own life. I was saved in fifth grade, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto salvation. I messed that verse up a little bit, but that's just the wrong order. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, chapter 10 and verse 13. My God saved a young sinner and changed the direction of his life. I wandered, but God gave me a second chance. In high school, I didn't fit in with the godly crowd, and I didn't fit in with the partying crowd. I was like a man without a country. I didn't go to beer parties, which were the rage, wacky tobacco, that was the big thing back then. I didn't do that. But I wasn't spiritual either. I don't know if it was stubbornness, but God just kind of keeping me from a lot of evil. Go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a call of God that was on my life, and I knew it. And I was fighting it. Initially, I surrendered. My junior high years with a man named Pastor Amundsen, they were great years. Ninth grade, great year. 10th grade, I started to wander a little bit. 11th and 12th grade, I didn't go to church much. Did my own thing. But God protected me. Then I surrendered. Romans chapter 12, turn over there. Romans in chapter 12, verse 1. My surrender was real. I was already 19 years of age. I'd already been out of high school a year. I was running from God as fast as I could. I worked at an Arctic Cat Suzuki shop. Going places, really going places, man. I got my first electric bills. My first phone bills. Man, I had to pay for my own groceries. Man, life was tough. I was starting to figure that out. 19 years of age, I'm already married. Things aren't going real good for Debbie and I. That first year of marriage, would you say was, I'll use this word not loosely, hell on earth. We were full of ourselves. That's what happens when you run from God. And I was running. A preacher pigeon-toed me, cornered me, and pigeon-toed, forget that, cornered me, and said, we need a male counselor down at camp, below the bridge. I said, man, I'm not your guy. But then I remembered all the good times I had in Bible camp, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade. And I remembered the peace of God. I remember the joy of lifting my voice and singing. And I remember the rubbing shoulders with other young men that were excited to serve God. And I thought, man, I miss that. I tasted just enough of the world, I didn't want it. So I spit it out of my mouth, and Deb and I, we went down there, I counseled, and by the time we got to the end of the week, Deb and I got underneath on our knees underneath a great big white pine tree and a carpet of needles, and I prayed this prayer: God, if you still would have me, I surrender. If you'll open the doors for a Bible college. I knew all about colleges and how you had to apply. I thought it was pretty safe. It was the first week of August. I'll go this fall. I got back, and lo and behold, coincidence, a handbook was put in my hand of Northland Baptist Bible Institute. Brand new school opening. I said, oh boy. And I went to some youth retreats there, so I remembered. And so I called, and they accepted me sight unseen. I thought, oh my goodness, God's opening the door. We packed everything we could own on a two-place snowmobile trailer and a junk car and headed off to Bible college. And God began to whittle us away and make us, turn us into servants of God. There's a lot of life stuff I want to share here, and I'm gonna shorten a lot of it up. Go to Psalm 37. I didn't read Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't I owe Jesus everything? It's just reasonable. He saved me from the fires of hell. I'm going to live all of eternity in his presence. And he's blessed me while I'm living in this life. Isn't it reasonable I present my life a living sacrifice? That makes perfect sense. Psalm 37. Just a couple of verses. Verses 23 through 25. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's the will of God for my life. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, that would be me many times, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I may fall, but Jesus never fails. I have been young and now I'm old. That's me again. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Here's the deal. If, as a child of God, you and I will surrender, he'll shepherd us. He will lead us. We'll fall. We'll fall often. But Jesus will never fail. And we're safe in his hand. And he'll even take the bad things that happen in our life and use them for good. That's the God that is bigger than my mind. That's the God and Savior that we serve. So I got saved in fifth grade, and I was called of God. I knew I was called to preach. I ran from that call. I finally surrendered when I had nowhere else to go. The devil will tell you this when you get called of God, when you're supposed to surrender. I have too much to give up. There's no way I'm going to surrender to whatever God's will is for my life. I have too much to give up. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You have nothing worth hanging on to apart from Christ. You have nothing of any lasting or eternal value apart from Jesus Christ. Let go of the world and run to Jesus. You surrender and he'll bless you and take you places, and you'll see things and experience things like you never would have experienced if you were the richest man on earth. And behind your front door, it's hell on earth. Jesus is the answer to everything. Man, that is so simplistic. The call of God. And then the service. You know, I have no credentials. I'm not serving the world. You can go to school for 10 years and get all kinds of degrees. As long as you can pay to go to school, they'll take your money and they'll give you a degree. Just do the school works easy. Man, academia is easy. You just study, you do exams, you do papers. That's not real life. It's just, you know, that's easy. I have no credentials, except I'm saved and I'm surrendered. That is it. That is it. And that makes you a servant of God. And if you're going to be a servant of God, don't step down to be president of the United States. Serve God. Know the blessings of God. God has a plan for your life. You young men that are surrendered to preach, I don't know what God has for you. And it's pretty exciting, isn't it? I mean, you don't know what is over the next hill. But if you just stay straight and true, keep your nose in the book, develop a relationship with Christ, there's no telling what he's going to do with you guys. There's no telling where he's going to take you. You say, man, it's too late for me. I'm already in my 30s. It's not too late for you. You're still breathing. God, the Holy Spirit, is still calling you. God still has great plans for you. And it might not be that you move. It might not be that you stand in the pulpit. But we're to be full-time Christians. Full-time servants of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in closing. 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. I marvel. I am shocked. I honestly get up sometimes in the morning and I pinch myself. I can't believe I'm the pastor of Fundamental Baptist Church. I can't believe I get to be part of the a partner with God and with the people of this church and reaching this end of the peninsula for Christ. I can't believe the platform that He has given to us. I can't believe the souls that have come to Christ. And I just pinch myself because I know who I am. And I know where I'm from. And if there just be a humility and a surrendering and a day of pride and arrogance and self-love and self-promotion, God is looking for nobodies. Look what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 8 says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," talking about His thorn in the flesh, "that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." We all need to hear that. I don't know what valley you're in right now, but God's grace is enough. Amen. You're a child of God. You're not alone. Paul said, "God, if you just take this thorn," maybe it was his eyesight. I tend to believe that. "If you just, I could serve you better. I'd be able to see better. I'd be able to study better. I'd be able to write better. I'd be able to preach better. If you just take this thorn." But God knew that Paul had that old man still living within him. Yeah. And He said, "That thorn's there by design, Paul. You'll keep leaning on me." And He revealed that to Paul, because that's why he wrote under inspiration. "This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, my power is made perfect in your weakness," in weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory," Paul said, "in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He said, "Wait a minute, I think I got it figured out. Here's how it is, Church of Corinth. This is how it works. If I've got a weakness in my life, then I have to lean on God. And I'm a human being just like everybody else. And if I'm just all talent and I no longer have to lean on God, pretty soon I think it's me. And I don't need God anymore. And I never would say, 'Get away from me, God,' or never kick the Holy Spirit to the curb. But that's the way I'm going to live. I won't pray as much. I won't weep as much. I won't fellowship with you as much. But this thorn that I prayed for, I asked God to take it away in 3 seasons of my life. And each time God said, 'No, you need the thorn. So no flesh will glory.'" And then Paul said, "I understand. I got it figured out. God, if the thorn is what is going to be the vessel that imparts to me the power of God and to be used of you, give me more thorns." He said, "I glory in them. I surrender to you." What's your thorn in the flesh this morning? You say, "I've never surrendered to preach because I don't think I can stand up in front of people." Surrender it. Let God take it where He's going to take it. He say, "Well, I just don't think I can stay faithful." Surrender. Say, my thorn is I can't string 3 words together. I can't sing. I got big ears. I got a big nose. Hey, that has nothing to do with it, right? I got it. So don't wait to get good looking. It ain't going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse. All right. So surrender what you have to God. You know what would happen in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan if a whole church of people surrendered to God and said, "God, I don't have much, but what I have, it's yours." God doesn't need a Hollywood smile. God doesn't need talent. Just an empty vessel. He uses the nobodies. Well, I wish we'd had time to exegete the rest of this scripture in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. He said, "No flesh is going to glory. All the glory is going to go to God. Because I use nobodies." That's us.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.